Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirits Work, the metaphysical, paranormal and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and with the aid of our spirit friends, we are going to be finding out about the importance of forgiveness.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 2 p.m. PST, we have another radio show which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us or our books and CDs, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves again. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it is they took me either. But then that's my job. So without further ado, I'll hand you back to Sylvie, and do have a great show.
Thanks, Mick. Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have an understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, are limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death, of course. We do not have any religious bias or political persuasion, and it is our mission to only bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit, to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend.
How are you?
I am very well. Thank you for asking. I have never felt any better than I do at this moment in time.
Good. Well, today we're going to be talking about the importance of forgiveness.
Such a great tool that people tend to leave out of their lives. We notice so many beings in physical life live their life harboring ill will. Ill will from situations past, events which can no longer be turned back. The pathways long since dried up and gone away. The emotions for some still live on, raw and indeed very much alive. These emotions may be kept alive by the thought and by the images of feeling human beings have an ability to attract to them. And this, of course, is something which continues in the spirit world as well. So many who come to our side of life still have the unsettled emotions like dust upon the mantelpiece of their life. They continue to have these expressions of emotion of situations, actions they may have been involved in, thoughts and deeds that they unleashed upon others. And they have this yearning and great search of self to try to come to terms with those effects of life that they have placed upon themselves and upon others. So you can see quite clearly why it is so important that each and every one learns to forgive themselves and others for past mistakes and deeds.
Absolutely. Is this the only way that they can release themselves from this pain?
Yes, of course. There are a number of ways, really, to relieve oneself of the pain of one's own situation. But there are also, of course, a multitude of feelings and emotional tides that come in to the life from other people's severity upon you, upon your life, the decisions and actions they have made that have harmed you in some way. Particularly, of course, if you were an innocent. And so many will constantly profess to be this virtue of innocence. And this will be perhaps part of the reason for why they find it so hard to forgive, to bring that feeling of closure to completion in their life.
Hmm.
For some, of course, it may be to do with traumatic events which they have only learnt from secondhand, that perhaps they weren't even events which actually affected them, but have so traumatically affected loved ones they are aware of or know, that these situations actually have an impact upon them, and they, in a sense, feel cursed by other people's lives. In this way, you could say that some races will have a genetic disposition, perhaps, to this failure to forgive for past actions or events, perhaps from another tribe or nation.
Mm, yes.
So you would have sometimes a situation where whole villages or towns or conglomerates of people are affected in this way. They feel a sense of brotherhood together by their shared conviction of their failure to forgive for past deeds done to them, perhaps.
Well, where would you start? I mean, there must be so many things going back through the family line happened. You know, I mean, it's not just an individual incident, is it?
That is quite true. That is part of the problem, I suppose, people face throughout life.
Hmm.
When do individuals simply let go of responsibilities they actually do not have a duty of care for? Particularly if it was a genetic situation, a situation which happened long ago to their particular tribe. If you, as a person, shall we say, feel victimized just because of the color of your skin or because of your race or some other such feeling, that what you carry with you is not actually your pain, but the pain of a tribal memory. This is usually brought about to great effect in your life through systems of behavior which were put upon you during your childhood, perhaps by your parents, perhaps by other peers in your group. It may be that this was something brought about simply because there was an impact or wish for you to dutifully remember the suffering that others made, perhaps for your benefit, or that is usually the tribute which is paid to them, and that you must therefore carry on that indebted feeling in their absence.
Mm.
This is most important that you realize that some people have this trophy that they have to carry around with them to almost anoint them as it being a part of their system of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it actually becomes a system of failure for a reason of their activity, perhaps of not being able to do this, or the activity of actually creating an action, which is repetitive, something perhaps that a race had always done. It is an excuse that many use as an argument for continuing a form of behavior. Perhaps like hunting whales.
Mm-hmm.
They will use this as a symptom of their race and say this was something we have always done as a tribe, which of course is absolute rubbish.
Yes.
Because no one can actually cite that as a cause. It is a weakness and a failure for them to cling to such a past deed. Does it make it any more worthy just because they have always done that as a tribal insular discovery, perhaps, of their past life, and that in some way makes them feel affected and homely to that life.
Justifies their
justified
actions.
Justified in their actions,
yes.
Exactly so,
yes.
Friend. This is actually to do with their failure to rise above the effects of their genetic position or their tribal institution. A tradition is like a belief. It is baseless and soundless, has no real meaning in physical life. It means that physical life is shackled to a past event, not having a free will life. One could say, I suppose, that for some, it is their free will memory to have that excursion and to behold that belief or that system of activity.
Mm.
But what we are trying to say here is that it is in fact deplorable some would live in the past and be attached to such wicked deeds, which obviously have failed the group as a whole. 'Tis not necessarily, just as in the one I have cited, the slaughtering of whales, not something to be thankful for doing.
Mm-hmm. What about in the animal kingdom, in this way of forgiveness? Do we have to do anything when we go to the spirit world for the forgiveness of the animals, in that, say, for instance, in that case?
Well, of course, yes, a great deal. And that is a part of the problem of the genetic insular activity which continues to pervade human society, which is why we are saying, for many, humanity has not actually moved or created movement of consciousness.
Yes, a lot of people actually think that we have, don't they?
Unfortunately,
but if you look
yes.
at it in these terms, then no, we haven't.
Quite so. And these are what actually confine the consciousness, making it more and more difficult for a human being in physical life to raise the consciousness into the environment of the possibility of enlightenment.
Mm, yeah.
How else can some one person who is having a physical life now or in the future actually be able to do so with a true free will experience if they are shackled to the past, to forgivenesses which they are not allowed to bring about, in the true sense of the word?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that is also, of course, part of the reason why we insist upon the element of knowledge and wisdom, that if a human being maintains stiff and staunch contact with past activity, perhaps to do with belief or faith or whatever, that it may well be an inherent facet of family life to, for say, eat a certain kind of animal or slaughter it in a certain way just because it is a religious dictate.
Ceremony or something.
Yes. Does that mean to say that it makes it any better? Surely you can bring about a servile attitude if that is what you wish to create by pertaining to this service, this activity of what you construct as a tribute to your religion and your faith by words. You do not have to carry them out physically, perhaps by slaughtering a lamb by slitting its throat, or whatever it is.
Mm.
Others, of course, bring about other barbaric activities when they are slaughtering some other animal, perhaps for food or whatever. And will use this as a practice to anchor themselves to methods of the past, which actually have no relevance whatsoever. Does it really mean to say that you have moved forward in your barbarity by continuing to display this behavior? Or in fact, is it that you are keeping yourself down? I fear it is the latter.
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, while we are still eating animals in the way we are, some of these arguments of these people, they say because we slaughter animals for food, we are meat eaters, then that we can't talk.
Yes.
If we think that their way of doing it is wrong.
Yes, I understand.
Same with the whales, you know, are we, you know, they're not pets, so.
Yes, they are not beset with love of human dignity laid upon them, therefore we can still do with them as we will. And no one else can say anything against it. This, of course, is actually, as I say, quite a short-sighted activity and point of view. We are not saying, do as I say and not as I do. That is also a weak argument. The point is that all beings should try to rise above their current behavior, whatever that is, because part of what you are doing is repetitious, and only that you are brought about in that form of behavior because you have always conducted it. It is something you have become used to doing. Therefore, it is a sense of familiarity which you have about your life.
Yes, we learn by our parents, teachers, and our peers, don't we?
Yes, of course.
And it can go either way.
Yes, and I'm not saying that all of it is against you. Of course, some behavior which is learned is very necessary in order for you to have a safe and loving environment, perhaps so that so many beings in a small confined space can peaceably live together.
Mm-hmm.
The point that I am trying to make is that so many human beings take with them these grievances through life and find it very difficult to let go.
Okay, well, so you have to forgive yourself for things that you've done.
This is really the first point. Learning to forgive self is actually quite an exercise. You have to be able to accept that when you have created past deeds in your life, deeds which have continued to affect you in the way in which you are feeling repercussions for them, then these only continue to survive because you continue to give them the negative feeling of energy around them. In other words, the negative energy that you feel, the knot in the stomach or whatever it is, whenever the thought or feeling or recognition of that activity you created creeps to your mind, is something which continues to nail your position to the past and relies upon your endeavors to focus upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you are unable to let go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So quite simply, you have to learn to forgive these past behaviors because you were perhaps not as knowledgeable as you are now. The very fact that you tolerate this continued feeling of past failure or of what someone else has done to you, which of course is another negative past failure,
mm-hmm.
because you, in a sense, feel guilty for having allowed them to do it. Or you feel anger at the reasons or the causes of why they did it in the first place.
Yes.
These are all negative situations which will bring about great pain to your life. We often shudder at why human beings continue to drag around all of this emptiness and this bitterness to do with other situations. And of course, we are talking here about something which was perhaps a physical situation.
Mm-hmm.
One which brought ramifications of all kinds of different impressions and pressures upon you as a being. Perhaps altered your life plan completely. Perhaps it was a physical situation that you cannot actually remove yourself from, because the activity someone else caused meant that you lost a limb, mm. or an eye, or an ear, or some other part of your physical anatomy.
Mm.
How then can you overcome and really truly say that you are forgiving those who brought about this?
You're reminded of it every day.
Every time you look in the mirror, every time that you feel that part of you alive and yet it is not there, not present.
Mm.
Sometimes people can say that cellular memory actually brings this very sad recollection. It isn't a sad recollection at all. It is there purely because it is your spirit reminding of your whole state of what and how you will feel once you are in the spirit world.
Mm. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing the importance of forgiveness. What about when you're in the spirit world, and you have to forgive somebody else, and what if this other person doesn't want to reciprocate?
An interesting point. It may well be that they continue within their energy purely because they are relishing the fact of what they have caused to you.
Right.
This may be an abuser, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a situation which had arisen in your family group.
Mm-hmm.
And that because of the genetic relationship tie means they either have to face this themselves or that they are cast outside of the family group because of what they have done. Some who cause this kind of situation may still relish what they had done, even in the spirit world. And of course, this entraps them into a certain realm of negativity. And it will only be at their own understanding of forgiveness, of their own activity, that they may rise above it. But also, of course, importantly, it will be most definitely the forgiveness of yourself, the one who had been abused, which will actually put the final seal upon their possible step forward to recovery. It is necessary that you understand, if a life had been taken, shall we say, and that family found it very, very difficult to forgive the perpetrator, that may be a sense of illness which they themselves harbour within them for many, many years, perhaps even the entire rest of their lives in physical state.
Yes.
And for some people, this of course does happen. They grieve their entire life for the loss of such a dear loved one in such a way. Just the same as the one who was abused, it is no less a pain. It is still a life altered beyond recognition of what they had once envisaged as their sacred journey. And this, I suppose, is the point. One person's life is so sacred and sacramental to actually being the whole reason for the glory of their journey. It may be, shall we say, that if you had been abused, had a life completely wrecked by that abuse, and it became the central and focal point of your being alive. That is, that you were this witness in a very full and factual way. This is a very real statement of whether a human being can overcome these prejudices of the loss of life you had held so sacred and had this obvious idyllic picture of what you wanted your life to be. Suddenly that is snatched away. And I do not belittle it for one moment. The point is that the individual must come to a term of reference of how to actually begin to forgive self, and also for the abuser, of course, or the person who took the life of the loved one, or whoever that is. You cannot turn the clock back. What is done has been and cannot be undone. Perhaps it is just a sorry state for something which we all need to take understanding and be aware of in whatever life we are living, that the actions we bring about, we are going to have to live with forever. And we may try to pretend they are not there, that you have not done them, perhaps, have not created them and caused havoc in someone else's creation. But well and truly, it will be in the spirit world that this life will be underlined, and that you will have to come to fully understand what you have created, perhaps in error, or perhaps driven by some urge or intent of physical feeling or emotion you either wanted to survey, or which had overtaken you through some malfunction of mind or dis-ease, or through some other disproportionate feeling you had toward your ability of control. And that really is the situation. Some people, of course, will be abusers, and I know that I can make statements about how or why a person is afflicted with such crimes against sanity, but that in truth there are reasons for everything. They may be just that the individual felt that they wanted to do this abuse or that abuse. They wanted to bring about this murderous act or whatever. Just the same, they wanted to kill whales and eat them, porpoises. Perhaps they wanted to eat a tuna's heart while it was still beating. Perhaps they wanted to be able to cut the antlers off a deer while it was still alive. Whatever tribal reason or incitement that was, that surely is part of the reason, but it was through decision of the individual to continue to carry out that act that has left them stagnant in the eyes of all humanity. Not a brave person to do this, but a failed one.
Okay, so when you're here on the earth plane, and let's talk about people who have done lesser things.
Yes.
You know, ordinary, everyday things that we do that we beat ourselves up for.
Of course.
Am I right in saying that we have to say, okay, that was a bad mistake? it feels bad to me, I feel bad within myself and I wish I hadn't done that, and that is the lesson, and then you say, okay, I forgive myself for that and I will not do that again because I'm recognizing this. So would you say that that is you forgiving yourself?
It is you as a beginning to forgive yourself.
Yes.
It is not necessarily a full forgiveness, because you may still feel much of the energy of what you created. You may still, as it were, colour up in embarrassment at the very thought that you had done it or that it has taken place. And that is much of the residual energy that people carry around with them, which of course then means that they are not actually concentrating on what they are doing now, but are reliving moments of the past.
Yes. But what you're doing in that way is recognizing it and voicing it even, well, not even, maybe not out loud, but within yourself as a recognition. And so that you then have a better chance of not letting it churn and do you damage, more damage.
Exactly so. You are actually turning the tide of feeling. So instead of continually reaffirming the oppression that activity created within you, you are actually allowing it to wash away from you. And this is most important, friend.
But do you think, it could be something as simple as you snapped at your parents or something and you feel bad for doing that, because you hurt them when you spoke to them in that way.
Yes, of course.
You might lie in bed that night worrying about that. Is it because we're programmed to feel that we should suffer for something?
It is because of guilt which human beings have over inconsistencies or failures to be seen to be of greater innocence or greater virtue than they really are. Therefore, people feel this sense of failure at personal disservice. Because of this sense of failure, of course, it means you can no longer hold your head up, perhaps, be pure and honest, have arisen from the ashes of poverty of the mind. Everyone wants to try to be a greater being than they were yesterday, or at least that is the plan for many. I won't say that it is a blanket situation for all beings. Some, after all, are intent on mischief and extreme negativity throughout their lives, for whatever reason.
But even if this person, you've said sorry, and the person says, oh, no, that's fine, I understand, or whatever, you can still lie in bed night after night
feeling
guilty about having done that, because you can't believe you did that. And it might be something as innocent as that. So I can't imagine how people even begin to start forgiving themselves for other larger things.
For larger forms of behaviour, perhaps, that they did many years ago. How then can you say that just because someone did or created these facets of their life, that they then have to be saddled with it? Is it right they should remain so berated, as though they are beating themselves up over this past fault? Or surely it is to say that a human being has truly turned the tide if they are able to help others who have a similar affliction, or have been able to rise above those moments when they were less than dutiful, when they were less than honourable. Perhaps their vibration through that activity has actually changed them beyond all recognition of what they were, of their behaviour cycle, and what that was at that time of life. Does it mean to say then that a human being would be condemned for all of their physical life because of a behaviour they created, say, when they were a teenager or even when they were a child? This, of course, is something which is apparent for those children who may have created some kind of abuse or perhaps taken other physical life when they were children. What of their behaviour some 20 or 30 years on? How can they ever continue in the full face and facets of their life and try to overcome these forms of behaviour which were created in despair, perhaps, or through other environmental circumstances, or just because that was the form of being they were at that time?
Can it be done, though? I mean, I know each case is individual.
Yes, of course, it can be done. And I feel personally it is a mark of a good individual to be able to try to forgive oneself and also forgive others who have done such incredibly negative deeds to inflict upon those of humanity.
Yes. We are really a race of an eye for an eye.
Yes, and unfortunately, laws tend to be constructed in that way. It doesn't necessarily do very well for the state of forgiveness within an individual, because you think that because you have suffered or because your loved one has suffered in a certain way, perhaps even just a simple thing, that your behavior in one specific incident has meant your termination of employment or the complete alteration of your life. Perhaps you have lost your house through the activity you created.
Mm.
And that your family continue to suffer for it. It may be, after all, that you are incarcerated from that activity. Does that truly mean that society has taken its toll upon you and lacks forgiveness in itself? Of course, societies create laws which try to govern the behavior of individuals and how they react to one another. There is this written law and code of conduct of what you are supposed to be able to achieve in your life and how you would impact upon someone else's life, the laws of creativity and the laws of fight or flight. What you are actually able to get away with, you feel yourself, is not something which society may agree with.
Hmm.
It may be that this is just a small thing. Perhaps you have stolen some item from a shop or whatever, and that you are absolutely mortified at being caught, least of all because of the connotations and the situation it will have in effect of your life. The ramifications of it. Perhaps if you had really truly thought of what that would be, you would not have created the incident in the first place.
Yeah.
Some people do not identify with that, but they react upon impulse. If someone reacts in that way, does that mean to say it relieves them of their duty of care or their responsibility for their activity? No, of course not. And for some, merely being found out is a cause célèbre.
Yes, sure. And we're not talking about going through the motions here either, are we? We're not saying, you know, well, I can carry on doing this if I say that I'm sorry the next day and then I forgive myself for that. That's not what we're talking about, is it?
No, or even, of course, being forgiving yourself or asking for forgiveness at the end of the week. And
yes,
then you can carry on and do exactly the same thing all over again.
Yes. So how do we differentiate between, you know, somebody who thinks, listening to this, they might be thinking, well, how do we, you know, what do they mean? How can we tell that somebody is truly forgiving themselves?
Yes, and contrite in their attitude.
Yes, yes.
It is very difficult, of course, because some can put up a very good charade in that effect. And it is, of course, most dishonorable for those to play upon this act and try to make it as though they have forgiven themselves or at least have come full circle and turned a new leaf, have become this different person. I suppose for many you would feel a sense of wariness when being confronted by such an individual.
Yes.
Well, how can you have really turned a corner?
Yes.
And you would always be suspicious, I feel, in whether they were truly going to be active in the way that they say. So perhaps this will mean that you will treat them differently, or perhaps with great caution. You would not, after all, leave your child, your baby, in the care of an animal, a dog or whatever, that had already ravaged a cat. Yet some will.
Yes.
Some do.
Yes. I'm sure.
Because they do not have the sensitivity or awareness to actually place the object lesson which they were made aware of in their life. And that, I suppose, is part of it. You will have an object lesson of what it is that you are supposed to use. Yes, of course, and you will use your judgment. You will judge them and their life, their form of behavior now, as it is represented in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be possibly determining a part of your behavior. Their words that they may say to you in contrition to their forgiveness, in asking you, perhaps, for your forgiveness of their activities. That, too, may be something which you need to be mindful of. Not make too harsh a judgment, of course, because you will need to feel that they can move on as well. The problem is, of course, if you have not been able to move on and you harbor these same ills, then you will not find forgiveness easy. And this is a part of the problem which exists in the spirit world, because so many on our side of life still retain this utter resentment at the change in their life field of events.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it was to do with why they are in the spirit world in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But going back to the earth plane, I'd like to make everybody aware that we're not saying this is carte blanche for you to be going about doing bad deeds and then forgiving yourself. That's not what we're talking about.
Of course not.
But if, so for instance, there's somebody who says they have genuinely turned a corner and they're not getting the forgiveness, they've forgiven themselves, but even though it's difficult, but say as a method of healing, they've been told that they should do that.
Yes.
And the people who are working with them, family or whatever, but they haven't forgiven them, so they're feeding them negativity and not love.
Yes.
Now that's going to be difficult, isn't it?
It is. The main situation, I feel, in that event is for the person to actually perhaps turn toward others that they may understand they too can help recover from their positions of low self-esteem, of the loneliness which they have brought themselves to through their activity.
Right, to help them to get to the stage that they've found themselves at now.
Yes,
to understand their errors and...
And of course this is much of the work of repatriation which occurs in the spirit world, to do with, for example, someone who has taken physical life or someone who has brought about this or that activity will actually be championed by some other adoptive person.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit world, not necessarily related to them, of course, but someone who has actually undergone the same activity or a similar activity and will know what it feels like and will also be aware of the path of rendition to be able to overcome those feelings of worthlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And it is most important that this is allowed to take place. How else are you going to see and observe a spirit or a human being be able to overcome such extremes of negativity in their life? How can anyone overcome a seed of negativity if they cannot find it within themselves to learn to forgive their past actions?
Mm. So what sort of things do they do with these people?
Well, what they would do is they would have to look beyond the situation they caused.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually have to look at, obviously, the fine details of what they caused and why they brought those effects about in their life. Being a mentor for someone in this state means that you are aware and knowledgeable of the life event which has afflicted them because it has happened to you.
Right.
And a mentor in the truest sense will have this as a background, and because they have undergone the same situation or similar feelings, similar emotional issues which will have arisen to the surface, will have afflicted them and the chaos within the mind which will be the result of it. And because, don't forget, in the spirit world, when someone has created these caustic actions and activities towards someone else,
mm-hmm.
or something else, they are actually in a state of clear anxiety over the very fact of the decision or judgment that they made in that event.
This is only if they are admitting and feel sorry about the decision that they made.
Yes, the point is that how a person comes to that state of understanding what they have created is perhaps to do with a quality of love which comes across from the mentor
right.
toward this being
right.
who has created such carnage.
Mm.
Even if the carnage wasn't that great a thing
mm-hmm.
as far as they were concerned,
mm-hmm.
the point is that when someone is faced with absolute love and purity, particularly in the spirit world, or maybe to do with people in the physical world as well, they find it even more difficult sometimes because their raised vibration makes it more painful for them to accept the wrongdoing they have created in the first place. Others, of course, will merely laugh at them, saying, "How stupid you are for sending me love or sending me forgiveness when I have done something to destroy you and I would do it again."
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There are those, of course.
I'm sure.
There are those who feast in the idyllics of terrorism,
mm-hmm.
who would want to only see the slaughter of innocents.
Mm-hmm.
And they are truly deranged.
Mm.
They are most difficult cases to resolve.
And the importance of forgiveness in that context is quite different, isn't it?
It is, of course, because it is actually one-sided.
Yeah.
In that respect, in that the perpetrator will stay with that negativity, intense as it is, for a very long time.
Well, plus we don't want them to forgive themselves at that state, because we want them to accept what they've done first and feel sorry that they did that, genuinely sorry.
Yes.
And then they have to forgive themselves.
Yes.
To be able to move on.
That is very true. The point, unfortunately, is that humanity or civilization wishes them to suffer beyond physical death
yes.
for the situations and activities they have done. And I'm not saying that they won't.
No.
Because human beings will create their own destiny through the physical activities they have unleashed upon others.
But, you see, if these people truly, truly accept what they did and are totally and utterly mortified by what they did, my analogy of just saying that if somebody's been short-tempered with their parent and the agony that you go through in that, so that would be a just punishment for them to feel
yes.
the wrath of those emotions afterwards when they truly do realize what they did.
Yes, particularly, my dear friend, if they were unable to say they forgive them before they physically passed.
Mm. Mm.
So many beings in physical life have an argument with a parent or a loved one, and then they pass.
Yes, yes.
And these are situations which remain unchecked, remain unresolved.
Mm, mm, mm.
That is why, really, the state of forgiveness is so important.
Mm, mm.
And as you quite rightly point out, there are these many home truths of how civilization actually parries these blows. If you do this to society, then society will react in this way. Sometimes, of course, it will be that the sentence carried out is nothing compared to the sentence within the life
mm-hmm.
of the person who did it,
mm.
who brought it about in the first place.
Yes. How do you tell if somebody is being truthful and they are truly sorry in the spirit world?
They begin to come alive. They begin to quicken in their vibration, quickens.
Hmm.
They begin to rise above that mantle that they had brought with them. And we can see that they begin to have understanding. If you can create understanding and awareness to an individual who has created negativity and catastrophe in their physical life, if you can bring that realization to the activity of the mind or to the eyes of that person, then truly you have done them a service. If you have woken them up in that way, surely by giving you their thanks and you creating attention toward them, perhaps even sending love in their direction, saying, "I do forgive you. It's hard, but I do forgive you." Can you learn to forgive yourself? Truly, these are difficult things to maneuver your life around. It is important that you understand the tools which are there for you to take and use.
So, this person in the spirit world, who up until this point Well, I know it's not going to just happen overnight or whatever. I know you don't have night in the spirit world. But so this person almost starts becoming illuminated, like a negative that sort of suddenly starts becoming in focus more.
Yes.
So it's actually, that's a very much simpler way of noticing and knowing that it's true, because it's actually something that is a visible thing,
yes,
as it were.
Their
absolutely vibration raises and they become more illuminated.
Yes. And what happens as a result of this is they become more sensitive to the activity they created. It isn't to say that it then becomes more painful, but the stark reality of the situation is brought home.
But instead of retreating...
And instead of retreating, what they try to do is find energy to deal with it. And so what happens in the spirit world in the mentoring situation is that the mentor will actually bring them courage to use.
Right.
Will show them step by step how to overcome certain feelings. Feelings of remorsefulness, great remorse, a depth of remorse you could not perhaps fathom yourself. And it is necessary for them to go through this, particularly in the taking of another life or abuse, you see.
So then they really do suffer in a way, don't they? I mean, that's got to be difficult.
Yes, I suppose so, if you would look at it in that way. But it is actually constructional.
Yes,
it
but
makes
it would
for
be...
a better being.
Yes, but it's bound to be painful.
I will not deny it. And that perhaps is more of a reason for people to identify that it is not as simple or as straightforward as they think, that the act of forgiveness does not draw a line underneath the cause or the activity which was created in the first place. What it actually does is raise the vibration and sensitivity of the moment, so that being who created the problem in the beginning will actually be more aware of what they have created.
Yes.
And that is the purpose of it.
Well, absolutely. But I think this is a good description for people here to realize, rather than worrying that, like I said, it's an eye for an eye and they like to see people suffer that have done bad things, particularly in taking of life or whatever. So if they know that the person... Because you see, you understand, saying that to some human beings, that the person is going to be getting loved and looked after and explained and mentored, they're going to say, well, why bother with them? Let them rot in hell, you know. But if they know that it's going to be quite painful even once they come to terms with it, and it's going to be an awful long time.
Yes, if time was of
essence, human beings
tend to favour, you see.
Yes, but you understand what I'm saying, that I think
Absolutely,
human beings might be able to appreciate how that would work.
Yes, it is because of the fact, my dear friends, the judgment is upon the self. It isn't something handed out as you would in a society or civilization. Judgment is not brought about by peers or overseers, is not cast in that way. It is your judgment of self, and you have to be absolutely blatantly honest with that judgment, because if you are not, you merely do not move from that point. So you have to actually come to understand in full truth and honor what it is that you have created, so that you may move forward, otherwise you will not. And no amount of wheeler dealing behind the scenes, no amount of trying to fix something but not really meaning it, will ever do.
No.
Because do not forget, a lie is red in the spirit world.
A lie is red. Your spirit turns red?
Your spirit has a red blemish upon it.
Right.
And your spirit does not want the red blemish upon it, because it is something which you, a physical being, have created for it, have put it through. It is not your spirit that made you do that. It was your mind, your creation of understanding and your judgment, which decided for you to do that, create that activity or whatever. Not your spirit's fault, but yours.
So that could take many, many thousands and millions of years to, in some people's cases, to get the forgiveness of others that they have harmed. And then they have to start forgiving themselves afterwards.
Yes, absolutely. There are so many who crave forgiveness but cannot receive it because their ancestors or whoever, perhaps their own ancestors or the ones of those they have harmed, have not been able to find it within themselves to forgive.
Mm. Mm.
It is such a waste of life, a waste of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does not bring any service to humanity. After all, look at it this way. Has it ever been that capital punishment deters the activity of slaying of another being?
I don't think so, no.
When communities and societies bring that as a way of dealing with someone in physical life who had taken other life, an eye for an eye does not really count, is not really something which placates the energy of their spirit.
Mm.
It is only really overcome by the true definition of awareness and sensitivity, of love, yes, of love, even for someone who has taken someone else's life. I know that many would say, how can you do that? If something was created in ignorance, not in stupidity, but in ignorance, that is, they were unaware of the ramifications of their activity,
mm-hmm.
or they were unaware of the emotional state they were in, or were unable to control their physical state because it was something beyond their ability.
Mm-hmm.
How can you condemn some people to the activity they create, not through their design or desire, but because they really were unaware? And when they reach that awareness, what then of how they feel of themselves? All beings must be able to move forward in their physical life and in their spirit relationship,
mm-hmm.
particularly, of course, whilst they are physical beings.
Mm.
It is important then for those who have created such situation to learn to forgive in a very real way, or at least to begin to turn a corner to understanding what they have delivered themselves. And even that will create a different ambiance for them to move forward toward the light.
Okay. Well, Gregory, I think we've come to time.
Very well, friend.
Thank you very much. It's been fascinating, really interesting.
With love and light, as always, upon your pathways and upon your journey to each and every one of you. Remember to rise to forgive those who cannot forgive themselves. You will feel so much better for it. Good day.
Good day, Gregory. And I'd just like to mention that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us and our work. And I'd like to say thank you very much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.